Motherhood is hard. One second, we think we're doing a good enough job, and the next, we feel like the worst mom on the planet, which is why we need the refreshing truth of the gospel to be repeated over and over, giving us hope in the everyday moments. So, mama, whether you're sipping cold coffee or doing a sink full of dishes, we hope you find truth, encouragement, and laughter here. This is the Risen Motherhood Podcast. Thanks for joining us. Welcome back to another episode of Risen Motherhood. I'm Emily Jensen, and my co-host Laura Whiffler will be joining me in just a minute. In today's show, we're going to be covering another principle from the Gospel Mom book that actually corresponds with chapter 7. We are talking about how to understand and consider your unique circumstances in motherhood. And this has all kinds of implications on the types of decisions that you're making and just sort of how to understand how God is leading your family. So we are really, really excited to talk about that. But first, we want to celebrate because our newest book, Gospel Mom, is officially on shelves. So this resource, along with the companion workbook, Becoming a Gospel Mom, is basically our brains in a book. It's really everything we've learned over the last, 10 plus years of motherhood. And it's all the things we've learned about living risen motherhood wrapped up into a resource that we hope equips you to be the mom that God has called you to be. So snag your copy anywhere books are sold or find more information at risenmotherhood.com/gospelmom. Finally, we want you to mark your calendars for Saturday, April 5th, 2025. Before Risen Motherhood sunsets, we are going out with a huge party and we are streaming it all live from Fort Worth, Texas. And we would love if you would grab your mom pals and join us via simulcast for a time of reflection on all that God has done through the ministry of Risen Motherhood. Tickets are free, so you just need to register at risenmotherhood.com/celebration party. Okay, let's get to the show. Okay, so I feel like over the years, we've developed some crutch words at Risen Motherhood.
Whoopsies.
One of them is excited.
Yeah, for sure.
We've like tried to ban ourselves from saying the word. We're excited.
I'm excited about saying the word excited.
Another one is talking about how unique things are. We're all different. So buckle up because we're allowed to use our crutch term today.
We're gonna say it a whole bunch.
Because the foundational principle for gospel motherhood that we want to talk about on this show is how important it is to really understand the unique life and motherhood that God gave you. And we were kind of thinking about this in terms of like a Venn diagram, like back to elementary school.
Yeah, this is such a helpful example, I think, because if you meet with a different mom, whether that's a mom down the street or that's a mom who's on the other side of the world, you're going to find some things where you overlap on and are similar. Like no matter, you're all going to understand what it's like to not have sleep. Like you're all going to be able to relate to that. Or you're all probably going to, every mom in the world is going to resonate with feelings of guilt. Like we're all going to get it. But then you have this other side of the Venn diagram, the outside portions of those circles where it's just completely different. Right? Things, even if it's your neighbor who is a very same demographic as you, there's going to be different things and different unique circumstances that you're both experiencing. And I think that this is something that's really helpful to keep in mind, especially because there is a lot of focus out there within Christian ministries and within influencers. And this is a good thing where they call us to see what we have in common. But Emily and I are here to also say, like, also, please notice what you have different.
Yeah, it's like we need both of those things. And I think that it's interesting because as women, I think we are uncomfortable with being different from one another. And there's actually quite a bit of research coming out about how women overall tend to care more about cooperation and being kind of in a group. So like social conformity is highly valued. And then there's this fear of differences or nonconformity, which leads to feeling like excluded from a group. And that's very, very prevalent among women. I don't think they would say like research would show men are not that
correct,
way.
Correct.
Men are more individualistic. And like if they're in a group of men, they'll just say their opinion. Yeah. And like they're not really that worried about kind of getting thrown out of the group. And it's interesting like to get deep into this because some people theorize that women tend to feel the need of protection in groups versus men. Just physically, they feel like they need the protection of, I don't know, not being thrown out of the tribe.
Is this like what like evolutionists
I don't know.
Say?
I don't know what I'm trying. I have no like
no,
good
I love
studies
it.
To cite.
I mean, psychologically though, you're saying.
Yes, it's psychological.
I mean, there's a lot of stuff that evolutionary theories that I'm like, actually, that makes sense with the Bible.
Biological. So, you know, yeah. Yeah. Like, and I think you think back to middle school, right? Where like as girls, it's like girls are going to call each other before school and be like, we're both wearing this color shirt today or whatever. And there is so much pressure to dress a certain way or like certain things. And if you're not in the group, it's kind of like that you're in, you're out mentality, and there can be bullying that happens and things like that. And so I just think it's interesting because we don't realize it sometimes, but like that middle school culture can like kind of carry into motherhood culture, where it can kind of feel like we want, you know, especially when we get together with a friend or we really like someone, we want to be like each other. And then when we have things that are different, we're uncomfortable with that, or we're worried, does that mean someone's doing something wrong?
Yeah. You know, all those things. It feels threatening one direction or another. And this is so true. I think that this, when we realized how important it is to become more comfortable with differences, it was a real light bulb moment for us at Risen Motherhood. And we felt like it was something that was somewhat missing in that wider Christian conversation, especially with moms, because this is really like how the mommy war started, right? Is that people were focusing in on what the differences are. I'm right, you're wrong. And if anything, it's like, nope, we can be different from one another and live at peace. And that's what the gospel calls to. And so when we think about unique circumstances, this is why I think for Emily and myself, like we have really tried not to personally endorse or overemphasize different parenting methods, or to get like super nitty gritty practical, even we know to some of your guys' disappointment, but they're just, in our opinion, we look out and we see, man, there's just so many reasons why a mom might make different decisions or use different types of discernment when they're leading their own family. And so it's all about resisting that middle school girl urge to be accepted and to be included or to consider being the same as being liked or being loved. I think that's what we often get caught up with instead of just trusting like, hey, this is where God has us, and being comfortable with the differences among us. So,
So in the book, we go through a lot of different categories about what types of things might make your situation unique. And actually, we have a lot of fun stuff in the workbook as well.
The workbook is awesome.
Mapping it all out.
Yeah, it's cool.
So there's a little plug there, but we wanted to go through some of these today for those of you who are just kind of listening and following along on our podcast series. But one of the things that makes your motherhood unique is just like who you are personally. And so this includes things like your family history of like your family of origin. Like, what was your relationship with your mom and dad like? Like, when did you become a believer? Do you have certain temptations and sin struggles? Like, what's your mental health history? What's your current mental health? What's your physical health? So there's all these things about you that just mean like you are bringing to the table of motherhood like a unique experience and background that is different from another mom. And again, we're not trying to say like right, wrong, you know, I wish this would have happened. I wish that wouldn't have happened. She grew up in a Christian home. I didn't. Like, we can get into all these weird comparison games, but the reality is like, it just is what it is. And like, this is what I'm coming into motherhood as. And I want to be aware of that.
Yeah. Yeah. Another few things to be aware of, your spouse, if you have one, is a major player in your unique circumstances. You know, you don't make decisions in a silo, at least we hope you don't if you are married, that you're really considering that person's needs, their desires, their wishes, and all that stuff that Emily just mentioned about who you are plays into who they are.
Your husband's got his whole situation.
And so that matters to your unique circumstances, is where his family of origin and where he grew up and what his beliefs are and, you know, whether or not his parents, where they were politically and things like that. Like, that plays into who you guys are as a family unit today, and is something to really consider and to think through as you start to form and make decisions in motherhood.
And I love that just reminder, like, we each are just, we're honoring our own husbands, right? We're not, and that just, we have to just remember that. Like, everyone is also trying to not only deal with their own stuff, but they're trying to come together with their husband and like make a decision there. Another thing is just your family makeup. So this is like, what ages of kids do you have? How many kids do you have? What is their spacing? What is their gender? Do any of them have any neurological differences or special needs or disabilities? And like, your family is going to need different things or look differently. If you know, one family has, you know, two girls and they're spaced 4 years apart, and another family has six boys and two of them have special needs and they're all really close together. Like, We sometimes want to be like, oh, it's just, they're all kids. But actually, if you were to go into those two houses and the types of demands on people's times and the noise level and the activity level and all the things, those would be different. And those moms would be coming to their motherhood every morning to meet different types of challenges.
Yeah. Another one is just where you live. So if you live in the suburbs, do you live in the city? Do you live in an apartment? Do you live in a big sprawling mansion? Like, I don't know, but all of those things really matter. Like what's
your
the demographic?
Culture.
Yeah. That's the culture that you're in. How diverse is it in your city or town? Like, do you live in small town Iowa or do you live in New York City? Those are very big changes for maybe things like how you do church or what kind of schools you pick. Like those kind of things really
impact.
What
kind of issues feel most pressing to you?
Exactly. Yeah. So there's so many applications for recognizing, oh, this is the microculture that I'm in, and here's how it plays out, and here's how I'm seeing that shape that, like, I care, especially on social media. This is where I just wish so many moms would recognize, like, oh, that mom is in a totally different microculture than you. And in America, America's huge, you know, especially for the moms that are here in the U.S., like, America is like lots of little different countries, you know, and we just forget about that and think, well, whatever that mom on the East Coast is doing, that's what the West Coast mom should do. And it's like, no, that there's probably a pretty big difference in certain areas. So I think just really remembering where you live is important. What's another one, Em?
Yeah, I think season of life too.
Ooh,
you
yeah.
know, there are some decisions that are harder or easier when you have all babies versus when you've got elementary schoolers versus when you've got high schoolers or college students, right? Like every stage of motherhood that you're in is going to maybe mean different things for your work. It's going to maybe mean different things for your spiritual disciplines and habits. It might mean different things for kids' activities. I mean, there's just so many implications. And I think as we recognize what season we're in right now, that also helps us make decisions and consider the motherhood that God has given us right now. Mm-hmm.
And lastly, actually not lastly, there's a lot more.
Probably way more to talk about. But
the things you care about. I think this one's been really helpful for me as I have found areas of life that I feel really passionate about, like disability and being outspoken about that and outspoken about the Imago Dei. Just recognizing that, like, that can't be everyone's passion area. And so often I think when we have something that we really care about, whether that's adoption or it's miscarriage or it's something you probably experienced, right? It's something you went through, then you kind of start to pick up that mantle and educate and help people know, and you're passionate about it, and rightfully so, because God has given you a life experience. That's why he gives us, one of the reasons why he gives us trials, right? Is so that we can be an encouragement and comfort to others when they're going through that. But what can come along with that if we're not recognizing this unique circumstance thing is that we get frustrated when other people are not as passionate as we are about something. And we start to feel either judgmental that maybe they're wasting their life or their time, or they're not giving their money to the right places. Mm-hmm. Or we start to feel prideful about feeling like ours is superior and not realizing that, like, oh, there are probably other things that family cares about because they have had a personal experience or someone that they love has had this, it happened to them. And so I think when we start to think about the things that we care about, maybe you're very politically active, or maybe you're like on the cutting edge of certain different scientific discoveries or whatever, allowing that diversity and trusting what God has given you and that you get to be passionate about that. And like, that's your job. Your job isn't to make sure that other people care about it as much as you. Like, you're just called to spread the message.
Yeah. And I think what the recognition of these circumstances do is they remind us that we have limits, that we are, again, made with a physical body with 2 feet on the real ground that we're standing on right now in a specific time and a specific place that God wanted us to be in with the family makeup that he's given us. And we have a unique mission to fulfill and a unique calling in the kingdom right where we're at. And every single one of those matters. And so I think it also helps us stay just rooted. With social media, I just think, like, we can get so distorted. Yeah. And suddenly, like, you know, and we do this on Risen Motherhood, right? Like, our mission field grows so big, or we kind of just forget that we are physically tethered to a place that God wants us to care about. And really, when you start to dive into your unique circumstances, you can be grateful for kind of like what is, what God actually gave you, and stop living in this kind of what if I had this, maybe I should have that, maybe I should have that. And it just is, we keep using the word freeing. There's another crutch word, but freeing to know, like, okay, no, this is it. This is what God gave me. And so now I'm going to figure out how to apply biblical wisdom here.
What is your favorite part of this chapter?
Okay, I had a quote that I pulled out, And it says, we can acknowledge our hopes and desires for the way we thought things would be, but evaluate and accept the life that God has actually given us, the place we actually live, the family we actually have. We don't live in the what ifs. We live our motherhood in the what is. And I feel like that what is something that I have to remember all the time whenever I see moms around me doing things that are different. And particularly, I think I feel this in the context of having a child with a disability. And it really changes the things that we need to do for childcare, for family activities, for vacations. Like, there are so many ripple effects in what our family sort of like can and can't do wisely, and sometimes I can really struggle with feeling like we're failing our kids or we're not giving our family the life that we want to give them or that we feel like we should give them because of this situation. And I have to really reorient and go, no, God, you gave me this. And it's hard and there's all those things to grapple with, but also there's a lot of freedom and joy to be had here. And I don't have to answer to like anybody else about how we're living with the life that you gave us and the child that you gave us. And I don't know, it's just really hard to not look and compare.
Yeah, I think especially in any grief, right? We're looking over our shoulder and it can be very easy for jealousy to sneak in. I think that like it's a battle for me for sure as well. And I think to even build on that is even just looking at different seasons. You know, I was talking to a mom the other day and she was sort of talking about how she can't do exercise and can't fit it in. And she has a little baby at home. And I was just like, and she was talking about like me and what I do. And I'm like, but I'm in a totally different season. I'm literally 6 years ahead of you. You know, yeah. Like you cannot compare my life to your life. Like you're going to get there in time. And so I think sometimes we put pressure on ourselves and we see what other moms have. I mean, this is the same thing that you're saying, but I even just like in the sense of that might be possible for that mom, but she's wishing away the present in order to get to the future of where she probably will be. And I'm like, oh, I just wish I could take away that angst and anxiety that she feels because it's so unnecessary because it's so like, it's so obvious to me on the other side, you know? And in the moment, like I was probably felt the same way, but I was like, oh, please don't look at my life as a pattern for yours. And so I like how we did talk about that of like, we're not living in the what ifs, we have to live in the what is. And I think when we get there, there's a lot of contentment. I always think of that Amy Carmichael quote, in acceptance lieth peace. Mm-hmm. And just that idea of like, okay, Lord, I receive what you have for me. And it's maybe not what I would choose, or I maybe feel antsy to move to another season. But when we can learn to accept and acknowledge like, this is the life I've been given and I can be grateful for what it is, then that's where we ultimately find peace in our lives.
Mm, so good.
What's something you've learned since writing or are thinking about right now related to this topic?
I feel like I'm just building on what I've already said over and over again, but I think I'm just learning how hard it can be to break a mold or an expectation that other people have of you in your family. So, you know, I mean, I think this can vary, whether it's like not getting a smartphone at a certain time and other families are doing it and you're not doing it, or it's like, hey, we need to get extra help at home, or we're not participating in travel sports right now, or whatever those things are. I think I can really grapple with fear of like losing reputation or losing relationships or not being seen by others as a good mom because I'm not giving them all the right things, or I'm not giving them all the culturally expected things. And I mean, that is just where the rubber meets the road on this gospel motherhood stuff. Yeah. So I think that those things are hard. And it's even hard to explain to your kids too, when they see their friends doing things and you're like, actually, Dad and I have talked and we've prayed about this and we feel like this is the right thing for our family. And it's not exactly what your friends are doing, and like really working through them to disciple our kids in what it means that like we each have to make these decisions before the Lord and they're going to be different from each other. And that's hard and uncomfortable sometimes. And yeah, it does sometimes mean that people are going to talk about you or they're going to judge you. And like, that's where we have to really have our identity in Christ. And boy, I have just come up against that a lot recently.
Yeah, I think sometimes I can wrap my mind around decisions our family is making right now. But what happens is I get this like weird anticipatory fear that someday my kids will resent me for this. Mm-hmm. And that maybe they seem fine now, but maybe my mind's going to change, or we both know, you and I, like we said this before, like we're going to do things wrong. Like as much as we're trying to do things right, and you feel like you're making the best decision you can at the time, like we're going to look back and we're going to say, okay, that was maybe a miss there.
Yeah.
Or I wish I would have done something differently at that point. And if I bury myself in that, I can get really paralyzed very quickly. I like can't let myself go there. But there have been times where I admit that I have and felt like, oh no, what's the future going to hold? And will my kids resent me for that? Or like, I'm not setting them up for success to be a thriving adult. And it's all ill-founded. It's all conjured up in my mind. And so I think that that's just something that I've been thinking about a lot lately, is just the trust that's required in the Lord to be sovereign and good to your family. And knowing that like, okay, I'm going to do the best I can. I'm going to mess up. But like, I trust that God is bigger than my mistakes, but I don't know. That's just something like I'm kind of working through right now. Yeah. Sorry. It's heavy, guys.
Big stuff.
Another question. Where do you think moms are most likely to fall in error here or to struggle?
I feel like the ditch for believers, and we already talked about like the ditch at the beginning of the show, which is not noticing differences at all. But the other one is like this idea of self-actualization of like, I am so independent and I am so unique, right? That like, we're not willing to then get input from others. We sort of pride ourselves on being a contrarian and on questioning everything and on, you know, well, if it's common knowledge and everyone believes it, then I definitely should question it and not believe it. You know, like kind of just getting into this cycle of, you know, focusing on our uniqueness as like, oh, there is this, I don't know. We can get weird about it.
Yeah.
That's all.
For sure. Get weird. Super weird. And I also think like the other easy ditch to fall into is just, I guess we did talk about the morning, but kind of saying that, okay, everyone should live just like me. You know, I there's some people who are like, I'm different from everybody and that's right. And there are other people who are like,
I got it right.
I'm different. So everyone should be just like me.
Yeah, right.
You know? And it's like, oh, neither one is quite right. And I think that that is the easier ditch to fall into, right? Is thinking it's just like when there's, you know, the other day I started drinking this new drink that's like a little pop that's healthy or whatever. And I shared it on Instagram. And I mean, this wasn't my intent, but it could be that it's like, oh, everyone needs to drink this because it's good for you. Like, and that is a little bit like why I'm sharing it. We're naturally programmed to share good things. Things that are working for us. Like if you've been helped or healed or fixed or look good by something, like you want to tell people. That's how God made us. That's why the good news of the gospel is contagious. So I want to share it, but it can kind of fall into this error of like, if you don't do this, like you are silly.
Yeah.
You know,
what kind of person are you?
Yeah. You are ridiculous. So, I think we got to be cautious about both directions.
Yeah. All right. So if a mom wanted to do one or two things right now to help her grow in understanding unique circumstances, what are some ideas?
Okay. So we provide this for you in the Gospel Mom workbook, Becoming a Gospel Mom. But if you don't have that, we just recommend making a mind map. Hopefully you guys remember those from this like elementary,
like a circle in the middle of the page with you as a stick figure and write me.
Me or Laura Wiffler. And just write your name. Yes. And then you have all these little like lines coming out with things like your spouse, your all the things we listed earlier, you know, where you live, what you're passionate about, things like that. And just write some of those things down and keep it nearby, pray about it, see what God might show you about what it means for how to live well in the motherhood that God has given you and to help see blind spots or areas of pride, areas of judgment, just kind of form all those things. I think what I loved about what we did in the book was that we had moms really work through. It's like, it's sort of like a personality test or some sort of like fun self-assessment, but then it's not so fun anymore because we have you work through areas of things that you feel like are wrong in motherhood and kind of think about like, okay, is it biblical? Like, is this a universal truth that this is wrong in motherhood? Or is that just something that like is my conscience is more something that I personally don't feel like is right? And those are really tricky. We're going to talk about on the next show a little bit more, but you can kind of do a version of that at home and God will be faithful to reveal things to you as you seek him.
I think another thing is, you know, set a calendar entry or, you know, a time to have an intentional discussion with your husband about your collective, you know, unique desires and goals for your children, for your family, within the, you know, bounds of God's commands. And I think it's just sometimes, you know, we're so busy talking about the really immediate things with our spouse of like, who has to get to practice and what are we doing for dinner? And can you find that shoe or whatever that we forget to talk about like the bigger things and the directional things and go, oh, actually like there's something we really desire as a family, and we would need to make some shifts in our life in order to reach some of those goals. And so I feel like it's important to have both of those types of conversations and to not wait until something is like heated or falling apart to be like, well, we've never even really talked about this. And like suddenly people are very emotional. So it's nice. You know, you're going on a long car ride, take everybody out for a walk, stay up a little bit after bedtime, and just take time to even talk through your unique circumstances and what kind of things you want as a couple.
Okay, so in all of this, take home lesson is remember that differences are great. They are awesome. They are good things. They're not to be afraid of. And we really believe that God is going to work in those differences. And that is how his mission is accomplished throughout the world, is that we each are living in our own lives. We're flourishing. And we're living just the way that he has called us and built us. And so today we hope that you could just feel encouraged that the things that maybe sometimes you feel odd about or different about or lonely on are actually potentially gifts and great ways that God can use you.
Hi, my name is Michelle. I love the Risen Motherhood community because as I'm home as a mother of three young daughters, it just helps me remember that in these mundane moments of motherhood, the gospel applies. Jesus matters, and Jesus sees me in the smallest moments of my life with these three girls. Especially one with severe special needs. The community just helps me to have an eternal perspective that these days here on earth are short in comparison to an eternity with Jesus. And that impacts me, and that gives me hope for each moment of the day.
Risen Motherhood is a nonprofit organization made possible by our generous donors for women just like you. If you'd like to support the ministry, please go to risenmotherhood.com/give.